2013 coverage from the National Football League Scouting Combine in Indianapolis continues. Paul Allen, Paul Charchian, and General Manager for the Minnesota Vikings, Rick Spielman, joins us now. Mr. Spielman, welcome back to Indianapolis. How are you?
Good, thanks. Do they see the handshake when we shake hands on
the
radio?
They do right here.
Okay. At Vikings.com, they will later.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, what I want to do is I want to get my phone, I want to go into some of these private interviews, and I want to tweet.
Oh, can you?
Like your private interview with Honey Badger and stuff like that, just to kind of get a flavor for the combine. Speaking of flavor, you know, we were talking about it before you came. This is the third consecutive year we've done radio shows from the combine. We came here after the 6-10 season, yet picked 12. We came here after 3-13, yet 3 turned it into 4 and Khalil. This year we come here 10-6 with an MVP, so it's not about a savior, it's about flavor, kind of complementing what you already have, correct?
Yeah, we're going to go through our normal process, and I think the mindset that you have to have when you're getting prepared to get your team better is to make sure that you go into the mindset that, hey, we're building this from scratch. So you're going to take the best players or the best players that could potentially help you. And I still think that by sticking to that philosophy, even if it's not an immediate impact as rookie year, eventually he's going to be an immediate impact guy. And an example of that would be like a Kyle Rudolph. The time we took him in the second round, people didn't expect us to take a tight end because we had Kleinsaucer and Schenko.
Yeah.
But as we go through this process, you look at where your team's going to be in 14 and in 15. And still, when you can take that best available player, that's what we're going to do.
I always imagine somewhere in your office, if it's not up on the wall, it's on some big spreadsheet, where you've got this roster, a Viking roster and a payroll year, you know, 2013, 2014, 2015, so that you've got a sense of, you know, who you've got and what guys you feel like you can count on in future years. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. You can't just plan on the 13 season. Now, you're going to put the most competitive team you can out there every year, but to continue to have a competitive team to maybe get you into the playoffs every year to make a run at it, you have to plan out for 14 and 15 as well. Who's under contract? Who do you need to extend? Where your holes are going to potentially be in those years as well.
So is that why I always see you at Flying Cloud Fields right off Pioneer Trail in Eden Prairie, scouting Eden Prairie Pee Wee football at ages 9 and 10?
Well, that's just because my sons were playing.
that's across the street at La Crosse. Hey, the interviewing process, has it already started? Have you interviewed players? Like how does that whole process work?
The interview process started with agents.
Okay.
We met with a couple of our players' agents last night.
Yeah.
We'll have continued meetings today, Friday, and Saturday. The player process, I know Jeff Davidson, our offensive line coach, some of our people started last night in the train station a little bit, but the formal interviews, and we have 4 tonight, will start officially tonight and go through till I think we finish up Monday night.
So do you choose individual players you want to interview, or is it a cavalcade? They just keep coming through?
No, they've changed that. When I first started back 23 years ago, it used to be you have your room over at the Holiday Inn, and then you go shag players. And I started out as one of those runners. And we were just talking about this the other day. The one guy, before they had the 15-minute time limit, was I was waiting for Hugh Douglas. And I waited outside 2.5 hours to get him out of a specific team because of how they tested guys and what they did. Now they have it a lot more organized.
Yeah.
But I remember my boss saying, "Where the heck have you been?"
I bet. Said, sitting outside a room.
Yeah, you told me to sit on this guy, and I squatted for 2.5 hours waiting for a guy to come out of the room. And there used to be, you know, 4 or 5 teams sitting there waiting for guys, and you're scrapping, and you're, you know, people's tempers used to get up a little bit.
I bet.
You made some trades going on. Hey, if we can slide this guy in. You know, there was a lot of things going on, but it's so much more organized now in making sure you get to the guys you need to get to.
You also mentioned trades. You are obsessed / comfortable with making draft trades. You like the adrenaline rush of it, and you also like the fact that it makes your team better when you feel like you can get great value. In fact, we have the Lions' 4th-round pick this year, right?
Correct.
Because of a swap last year.
Overall, yep.
Yeah, so you gave up your 5th for, like, their 4th, right?
Correct.
And that'll come into play this year. So you have 5 picks through the first 4 rounds as of now. Is this year's draft, Rick, just looking, you know, 1,000 times more about it than me, but it looks like a meat and potatoes draft with a bunch of guards that could go in the top 10, you know, no Lux, no RG3s, no giant splashy names. Do you think that'll make it more difficult to execute trades for teams?
No, because I think the people that are actually doing the work, to me, it's a very, very intriguing draft. It's the media side and maybe the name recognition side. Mm-hmm. The people are going to say, well, who's this guy? Well, he's, you know, those aren't splash names, the offensive lineman, you know, the defensive lineman that aren't, you know, some of the non-traditional splash positions. But it's a very deep draft and, you know, feel very comfortable at 23 because of the depth of this draft and the depth of this draft and some offensive line and some defensive linemen.
Yeah.
They're going to push players down to us at 23, and we feel the depth of this draft going all the way through, we're going to get some, you know, pretty significant players.
We have a couple of segments with Vikings general manager Rick Spielman from the 2013 Indianapolis National Football League Scouting Combine. Charge.
I just want to go back to the interview process for a second, and I know talking to you at you know, this event in years past, you've talked about how you when you get a guy alone and you've got an opportunity to talk to him, a lot of times you sort of you try to pick at the weaknesses of the player. It might be weaknesses in their game, it might be weaknesses in their personality, and see how they react when you try to press their hot buttons.
Yeah, no, that's all part of the process because they are, I think the agents do an outstanding job getting these guys prepared and prepped for these interviews. The players nowadays, with social media and all the access that you have to their background information, they pretty much know we're going to know everything we need to know about them. And it's kind of not, it's interesting to kind of push some of those buttons and see what direction that player is going to take you in the interview process.
What are you going to do with Manti Te'o? Because, I mean, now, you know, it's the buttons of, you know, there's so many buttons to press. And, you know, what do you do with a scenario like this? Because, you know, when that guy gets out onto the field, the players are going to be pressing his buttons. The fans are going to be pressing those buttons. Try to get in that kid's head.
He'll get a pretty good test in front of you guys when he when you guys get a chance to get to interview him as well. So it'll be interesting just to see that process. And part of it is when these guys go in front of the media here, how do they handle that media?
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to be able to handle it when they come into the league? Are they going to need some media training? That's just another thing that you look at.
What would you recommend to him? What would you recommend to Manti specifically as he's here and he's going to have to address media here? I don't think, well, maybe he doesn't, but I think it would be sensible for him to get in front of media and start beating this story, right? What would you advise?
I would advise nothing because I'm not his advisor.
Let me rephrase the question then. What do you want to see as somebody who's evaluating him, as somebody that, you know, this is, Vikings probably need linebacker help. What would you want to see him do to make you feel more reassured of where he is?
We have a process on how we interview those players, and I will keep that in house on the type of questions that we will ask. And that's the reason why we don't do it in front of the media. We do it in a little private room.
Hey, with Manti Te'o in closing here, just how short-sighted is this approach? I don't watch much college football. You watch everything. You travel all over the place. So the first full game I get a chance to watch Manti Te'o, he gets absolutely obliterated in the national championship game by offensive linemen who are going to go in the first round of the NFL draft. So I'm thinking this is a true NFL-like college football game. And he was obliterated. Couldn't get off tackles, missed tackles. You know, but then some people will say, well, maybe he had that hoax deal on his mind. But that's not my problem watching that game. I mean, Notre Dame fans who had been waiting for that moment for decades, you think that they couldn't care less about that hoax. That's supposed to be off your mind in this national championship game. Is that too short-sighted to look at that big moment and kind of think that's who that guy is?
Very short-sighted because you have to look at the big picture. What he is. You know, you don't look and we don't grade tape just on one exposure.
Right.
We look at the whole process. You got to look at the whole big picture. The other thing is you have to take into account, you know, some of these guys, and there's no excuses, and I'm sure that's one of the questions that sharp guys from the media will ask, why you had such a great year but didn't play as well.
Yes, Rick.
In the championship game.
Yes, Rick.
There is a lot of distractions going on. Those guys go on a banquet circuit. You know, he was up for a lot of awards. He's going here, going there. So I don't know if that was a distraction.
Alabama had no distractions.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, and not to disregard what Brian Kelly's done at Notre Dame, but I don't know if there's a better college coach right now than Nick Saban and getting his team to get prepared week in and week out.
But don't you worry that, you know, if a guy like Manti was able to get distracted by these other things, if he was able to get manhandled by a good team,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it was just a bad game. I don't know if he had the flu that game. I don't know if there was other things, that ancillary things we don't know about. It's an unknown.
Well, he,
guys
he
have bad games, believe it or not.
He had an illness. Well, it was called Chance Womack. He had a case of Chance Womack all over him all game.
Way to refer to that list, PA.
What are you talking about, sir? Rick Spielman, general manager for
You're supposed to have all that stuff down by now. We're at the combine.
Hey, can I look at that folder? Indianapolis Scouting Combine. When we return, we'll talk about some of these college kids at the combine and continue to preview the draft with the architect of Minnesota Vikings football, Rick Spielman. This is 9 to noon.
Fridays, it's PA in Charge.
I think we should call it Box and X.
Oh, what's he gonna do? You wanna get down?
NFL Scouting Combine, Indianapolis, 9 to noon production. Here for a couple of days, thanks to Whiting Clinic, LASIK and Eye Care, and WhitingClinic.com. Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, joins us yearly here. And generally the first day, what we do is we kind of take the local approach, talk to a lot of the local people, then get a little more national on Friday. What's the BS quotient like here? Not necessarily with you and I, because I know where that stands. But like when you're talking to the Rick Spielmans with other teams and coaches and stuff like that, in just having a surfacey conversation with people, how much BS is being slung around?
You know, people really don't exchange a lot of information because it's a competitive disadvantage. So just like when I'm talking with other GMs and things like that, you're talking a lot of general things and how your family's doing and so on and so forth.
But they couldn't care less.
But very rarely do you say, hey, man, I really like this guy. What'd you guys think of him? Or
the general manager for the Tennessee Titans couldn't care less how well Juan is playing in lacrosse or whomever.
Yeah, no.
So it's like being in an elevator saying, sure is cold.
Yeah.
Might be time to cover those tomatoes.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, good luck next year. So nobody comes right out and says, what are you thinking of 23?
Yeah, no.
What's the purpose of even having a conversation?
Just why do you have a conversation with Charch over here?
Well, because, good point. You know, you don't get any good.
Because we compliment each other. You know, I like to compliment his analytical ways. So you can't go up to any general manager and say, what do you really think of Chase Womack or Chance Womack?
You are reading that list. Making sure next year at this time you have all this stuff memorized.
I'm an elite Jonathan Cooper mind. Anything you want to know about Jonathan Cooper, the guard from North Carolina, I'm your guy, okay?
Funny. When you were on a couple weeks ago, we talked about Phil Loadholt. You said the team's going to make an effort to keep him.
We're going to make an effort to keep all of
We're going to bring Phil back. It's the Minnesota Moving Company. Good God.
Yeah.
The strength of the team,
I'm sure,
Rick.
You're not going to make an effort to keep everybody.
Everybody is.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Talk to me about if you wanted to apply the franchise tag, how does it work on a right tackle? Do you pay the average of the top five tackles, or is it spread across all offensive linemen?
Yeah.
Right? It's all offensive linemen, right?
Right.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Average.
That's a lot of money, Rick.
We have the franchise numbers, and with those numbers, and the offensive line is a pretty high number.
Yeah, the left tackle, you know, makes it extremely expensive.
Center makes a lot, Rick.
Where the biggest discrepancy comes is with those 34 teams, with those outside linebackers, are they defensive end money or are they linebacker money?
Ooh.
So that's where you get a little bit more sticky.
I bet.
The other positions are pretty clear-cut.
And like certain tight ends who think they're receivers, but they're designated tight ends. There was a certain one in the division last year who had a problem with his team thinking, you know, I'm worth this, but you want to give me this.
Yeah, that is true. Going back to Loadholt for a minute, is it not safe to say that the team's got the franchise tag available? Is it not safe to say that he would be a potential candidate for that? Were you not able to sign him to a new contract?
I'm not going to say if we would ever use or not use our franchise tag. You look at the player. We graded all our players just like we grade all the players that are going to become unrestricted free agents, and you may determine what their value is.
Mm-hmm.
And, to me, whatever that value is, and you stick to that philosophy. If you think he's a... You can get a deal done. If you can't, Is he worth that type of money to be a franchise-type player? So those are all the internal discussions that you do have.
The other thing you get out of the franchise is you get one more year to take a look at him, right? I mean, another year to really feel like, is this a guy we want to make a five-year commitment to? After, you know, so you get a whole other year
but
of data points
on him. But there's more in-depth to that, okay, because that's a pretty significant number for 1 year.
Oh, yeah,
then
for sure.
What's the domino effect in order to have that number to fit under the cap, since the cap is relatively flat? Then how do you make all the other pieces fit as well?
What do you think
did he have any options if a deal does not get done with any of the players you're talking about? You're picking one specific player, but
yes,
this is applicable to all the free agents we have.
Sure, but he seems like a likely candidate because he's probably going to be a well-paid guy. If he hits the open market, and this would give you the ability, you'd have to pay him well. But
you know, you're colluding right now, and you can't be out there trying to cut deals. Until 3 days before the new league year kicks off. So technically, you're illegal right now.
That's right. He's your guy, though, right? I mean, you can talk about your own players. I understand you're not going to tip your hand on what your plan is.
Correct.
But he's still one of your guys.
They're all our guys.
Yeah, but only for a few more weeks, and you got to deal with all that stuff. And what do you do with free agency? Do you, obviously, without divulging the plan, but you know, last year, clearly, you were secure with letting the market establish itself and kind of seeing where the proverbial chips fell. Is that do you think that'll be teams' approaches in free agency this year?
We'll also, you know, like I said, we'll have a better idea coming out of this combine on if there is a potential deal to get done before the new league year starts, or is it something where they're going to have to go out and establish their market. In the past, you know, they had to wait till the gun went off,
yep, mm-hmm,
and then went out and make visits. But with this new 3-day rule and being
right,
able to start them opening up negotiations before the new league year, you'll have a pretty good indication at least what the market value will be.
So that means when Pierre Garçon signs with the Washington Redskins 45 seconds after free agency begins, we don't think it was just a quick 30-second phone call.
Well, they just got a deal done fast.
That was fast,
really,
man.
Fast, yeah.
Fast,
yeah.
Talkers over there.
Yeah.
It's just good. Not a lot of I's to dot or T's to cross, right? Hey, with the receivers this year, receivers or DBs at the combine and in the draft, is there a good flavor this year for receivers, DBs, kick returners, punt returners like that, the combo platter bit?
There are some opportunities out there that a lot of the receivers and some DBs that are pretty significant punt and kickoff returners.
Yep.
So you weigh that into your grade as you sit there and say, this guy not only is going to be a good receiver, but he definitely can help you as a returner as well.
Any particular reason why you might need a kick returner?
No reason.
No. Just looking at all spots.
Right now we have zero guys under contract, and we're looking to build this roster.
I understand that. Tavon Austin from West Virginia.
What number is he on your list there your due diligence?
He's
before
Mike
you came
Mayock's
down here,
fourth.
Very disappointed
ranked
in you.
Do you want to know who Mike Mayock's top five receivers are in the draft?
No, Mike does a great job, so now I'll take a peek at that.
He has something called Tavon Austin as fourth. And then I read up on him a little bit on the plane flight here. Is he a Darren Sproles type? Is he more of a
He's a
hybrid?
Dynamic playmaker,
yeah.
Undersized receiver that
okay.
has tremendous speed,
mm-hmm.
and he does a lot of things. I mean, he does their kickoff returns, he's done punt returns.
Yeah,
they lined him up in a backfield, I think, against Oklahoma, where he rushed for almost 300 yards as a running back. He does play slot. So he's one of those dynamic playmakers that is in the draft this year. The biggest thing people will be asking is, you know, and he's been very durable through his career
yeah.
at West Virginia, but what's with that size and what
yeah.
actually his size is.
What about Cordarrelle Patterson? All the online stuff that we follow indicate that he seems to be the number one ranked receiver into the draft. I'm not asking you to unveil your rankings, but from a skill set standpoint, Cordarrelle Patterson, what's his story?
Big receiver with some return skills, very athletic, one-year kid at Tennessee, came from a JC.
Right.
So, no, he's a very talented football player.
Rick Spielman, Vikings general manager, Paul Charles.
All those guys on your list right now are very talented football players.
Well, I got the top five.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's not, there's got to be a lot of talent listed in these top fives that I have here, but, you know, the you you got to get deeper to find the Red Ellisons and the Jarius Wrights and even the Blair Walshes and stuff like that. Blair Walsh was at the Combine last year, right?
Yes.
And Greg Zuerlein wasn't.
Correct. He was at the regional combine.
Right.
What's the regional combine, by the way?
What that is the NFL has put together regional combines around the country.
Okay.
And players pay a fee. I don't know exactly what the fee is to come in and do a mini combine like this. They run a 40, put them through drills.
Okay.
As they go around the country, they'll pick the top 100 out of those mini combines to have a super regional.
Ah.
And then those top 100 will go down there and then go through a combine again.
Do the Vikings send scouts to every level of this?
We wait
or only the super combine.
The super combine.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have we had two guys here last year. We'll have two guys. I think it's moved from Detroit down to Dallas this year. And we'll have guys down there, and that's usually that first week in April.
All right, so that hasn't happened. That whole process hasn't gone.
It's in the process now.
They're
going through the smaller regions.
Did the girl kicker end up getting to the through her region?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We don't need a kicker. We're good.
Well, we are good, but it's a fascinating story nonetheless.
Yeah, no, I read that the other day.
Yeah,
But that's great. You know, it's a great opportunity.
It is.
If she's an unbelievable kicker with a super strong leg, and say she legitimately kicks the ball as well as a boy, would anybody put a female kicker on their team?
I don't know.
Or at least give her a tryout.
I have no idea.
It would be novel.
What do you do in the locker room? I mean, so many things, so many events happen in the locker room, right?
Yeah.
It would just, I don't know. It'd be, you know, there would be some facility related issues that you'd have to try to figure out.
How do you handle Honey Badger from LSU, Tyrann Mathieu?
He'll be in part of the process, just like everybody is.
Yeah, a lot of good questions for his interview.
Yeah, there'll be, he'll be asked a lot of questions, I'm sure. I mean, sure, you guys will do the same thing when he has an opportunity to get to the podium to dig a little bit and see, I know everybody knows about the issues. Just can you handle the issues and is he a right fit?
Well, did he have a chance to be college football's best defensive player last year for LSU before he got kicked off the team? I mean, of all players in college football, he might have been the very best, right?
He's one of those very talented football players, but LSU has a lot of very talented football players down there. As you can see on your list, there's a lot of defensive players that are very talented from
LSU.
Well,
you have a list, too. Why do you keep making fun of my list?
I'm not making fun of your
list. Yeah, you are. You have a list, too. Can I see your list? You keep looking at mine. That's not fair. I mean, this is very unfair. You have a great draft. You're not handling prosperity very well with the radio show. And I'd like to see your list so that we can – here's my list.
And your list is a lot better than our list.
My list goes Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon, something called Ryan Nassib, and Landry Jones. What's your list look like with top five quarterbacks? It's fairness in list-sharing act, Rick.
Yeah, we'll kind of – I'd like to draw the line at some point.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about quarterback because you and I have talked in years past about when we threw out the phrase, you can never have too many good quarterbacks. This team didn't, as it turned out, it looks like this team didn't have enough good quarterbacks last year because we needed to go to our backup in a playoff game. We got a really bad performance from our backup quarterback. So your thoughts on addressing that position?
We'll look at just like at every one of our positions.
Yeah.
If there is, we're going to try to bring in competition behind Christian.
Yeah.
We honestly feel Christian is our quarterback of the future and very excited about seeing his progress next year. But whether we address it for a potential veteran to come in through the UFA market, you can't discount Joe, who had didn't play as well as he wanted to in that Green Bay game, but he has shown over the years that he's been here that he can go out and win some games for you. And PA's fine that gave me on the
McLeod Bethel Thompson, Rick.
Yes,
but who says you don't try to create as much competition as you can in that position, and that's different than no other position.
You do want Christian. If you were to take a quarterback in the first half of the draft,
he wants a quarterback at 23.
I want a quarterback who can press Christian, and I want Christian to embrace the competition. I don't feel like you want to have to worry about his ego and how he might feel.
I don't think you have to worry about Christian's ego.
I hope not. If it turned out that you guys had a mid-first round grade, I'm just hypothetically here, Geno Smith, I hope that at 23, you'd still be willing to take him if he felt like a good value at 23, and let the best man win. And if the worst case scenario is you've got two good quarterbacks as you and I have said before, you can never have too many good quarterbacks.
No, it's great to have as many quarterbacks as you can possibly have.
Yeah. But in free agency, I mean, just because the Matt Moores and Bruce Gretkowski's and Drew Stanton's and Chase Daniel, names like that, we're not talking to you because I know you can't talk about them, but he and I spar back and forth. Just because they don't, we have a starting quarterback is what my stress point on it is. And maybe to have somebody more experienced behind Christian, I don't think is a bad thing. But you obviously know more about the depth of the quarterback draft than do we, like Russell Wilson, where he went in the draft last year. Is there a chance something like that happens middle of the draft?
I don't know that, and I'm not going to comment on this year's quarterbacks coming out in the draft. The one thing I can tell you is, we have a pretty good football team. We're not there yet, but we're making progress. And we've spent the last month trying to identify the needs that we have to help us take the next step. And what we've done is, and I do every year, is put together the master sheet. So you can see how we graded our guys, how we graded the UFAs, how we graded guys that are potentially cut or potential trade guys or guys that may get their contracts restructured. So we have a separate list like that. Then we just finished our draft meetings on Monday. And now I have the top, 15, 20 guys at each position. So you can see where the depth is in each of those areas and how, after we've identified our needs, how you going to fill those needs and try to address them.
So last one, go.
You've already got guys kind of preliminarily ranked at each of the positions. You have a sense of depth and everything else. Then tell us about here at the Combine how the data gleaned at the Combine ends up reshuffling all of those grades.
It doesn't reshuffle them. For the most part, they're going to be predominantly in the categories that we grade them in right now.
And that's because you value game tape a lot more than you value a
correct
play time, right?
But now when the medical comes in, that can ding them out of there. Mm-hmm. When a character comes in, that can ding them out of there. We have to have our coaches are now starting the evaluation process.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we'll get here, but we're not going to take a guy in the seventh round and he runs a 4-1 here at the 40 and move him all the way up to the first round.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Good luck. Thank you, Rick. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Good. Have a wonderful day. Best of luck.
I'm glad I answered all your questions directly to the point.
Yeah, it's right. The Combine. Our work is done. Yours has just begun. Best of luck, okay, sir?
Thank you.
Rick Spielman, Architect, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings.